We are excited that you are spending some time with us. And we do recognize that, yes, this is Thanksgiving week. I know when you walked in, you might have thought that you missed Thanksgiving, right? You walked in and you looked around, you saw the trees, you saw all the lights, and you were like, wait a minute, I thought we were supposed to be having turkey and dressing. And I know that for some of you linear thinking people, the trees and the manger really throw you for a loop. I mean, you haven't even enjoyed your giblet gravy yet, and we're already all Hobby Lobby Christmas around here. And so I know that messes with your mind a little bit, but it was around this time last year that we did a survey of our EB family and asked the question, how many of you decorate for Christmas before Thanksgiving? And even though the numbers were close, the majority of you actually said, yes, you put up trees and you put up lights. Now, I don't think you're like Sean and Sheena White and like, you know, go all North Pole before Thanksgiving, but you at least decorate. And we thought, you know, we're trying to be all things to all people. And so why not just go ahead and in honor of those of you who decorate as soon as the candy is gone at Halloween, we just put up some things. And so we did. And we appreciate Ashley and Matt Francis and all the little elves that came and oversaw all the decorating so that we can be a little festive here as we get into the holidays. We really appreciate that. It's going to be exciting. So many things that are coming up. Please make sure that you are keeping up to date with our church calendar so you know all the different activities that we're going to be having and being involved together. Now, last week I told you that we should be thankful for nothing. And I know that that sounds very strange to say at Thanksgiving. At this time of year, we're always talking about things that we're thankful for. So we talk about our blessings, and there are a ton of blessings. And it is right and great at this time to take time to consider all that we have. And we need to be thankful for these things. But I thought it might be nice if we also gave God some praise for what we do not have. So last week I reminded you that because of God's grace, everyone who is in Christ has nothing to worry about when it comes to penalty or punishment for sin. The Apostle Paul wrote to Christians in Rome, and after reminding them of their inability to do right or to be right, well, he told them, look, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And even though we might not understand everything about God's grace, everyone can still experience God's grace. And I appreciate so much Aaron and Tim coming together today to remind us of the fact that God's grace is for everyone. And that we come from different backgrounds and we have different opinions on various topics and ideas, and yet we're still one in Christ, and there's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. I even put up a slide last week on the screen that said, grace experienced is more better than grace understood. Now, I know some of you thought, man, Chris is really excited about this whole grace idea, so much so that he used incorrect grammar and went more better just to be able to echo his point. Well, I wish that I could take that kind of credit. Actually, I was having a hard time figuring out how exactly I wanted the slide to read, and I went through multiple variations, and in one variation, the word more was used, but it was not with better, but then it ended up being grace experienced is more better than grace understood. And it's amazing how you learn who the English teachers are in your congregation when you put up a slide that is grammatically incorrect. And I am thankful for all of you English teachers for looking out for your preacher and for the kind way that you approached me and let me know that that's not right. It needs to be changed. So I decided that this week we weren't going to have, I wasn't going to do this slide. Right? I was just going to put it up there to let you see it, and then we're not going to talk about it very much more better. Okay, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do it. So grace is more better, by the way, when it is experienced than when it is just trying to be understood. And as an illustration for that, I did something else that really got everybody's attention. I wanted you to understand that you don't always have to understand it to enjoy it. And so I threw some Twinkies out to the crowd. But everyone, by design, did not get a Twinkie. And man, did I hear about that. You gave them to all the people who were up front. You didn't throw it hard enough to get one to me in the back. In fact, one young man who was here with his grandparents came up to me and said, "You didn't throw it hard enough." And in fact, then after he voiced his displeasure, he said, "So, thanks for nothing." He got it, right? I was like, "Oh, this is awesome. This kid gets it. This is great. He was listening. Others of you reminded me how we have a very strong connection here at EB with McKee Bakery in Collegedale, and that giving out Hostess products is a big no-no, right? So to calm the masses, today we have Little Debbie. All right, yeah, I know. And we've got some guys and gals up here. Weren't able to go on the retreat, so here you guys go. Fudge rounds all around. All right, there you are. Hey, but now I only got fudge rounds. I've also got oatmeal cream pies. Right, you like those? Yeah? Uh-huh. Wesley even saying, "Hey, give me a little love back there." Here we go. Make sure the girl. All right, you guys got that? All right, Wesley, which one you want? Whatever I throw. All right. There you go. Bad job with that. Let's try that one. There you go. That's right. Look, hey, we've got little Debbies today because we don't want people to get upset with us. We want everybody to leave here happy because the grace of God is for everyone, right? Now, I see there in the back, I know you're saying, "Hey, can we get it back there?" You betcha. You betcha I can. Protect those little ones back there. Here they come. All right, look back over here. Here we go. We got something coming. There we go. Look, hands are coming up. We don't raise hands when we praise God, but we raise them when there's little Debbies around here. That's right. That is right. You can believe it. We get little Debbies. Hey, let's get over here. Give some love to the young adults. Here we go. Protect the babies. Thank you. I know. Didn't protect them last week, but now we're going to protect them this week. Here we go. All right, now, in the back, we're waving our hands. Oh, we're jumping up, trying to grab them. Here we go. Got to make sure everybody gets something. Oh, that was not good. Over here. What we got? Oh, I see hands coming up. Jump out there and grab it. A few more. Here we go. Got that. Whoops, got to be paying attention. All right, coming over there. Get it? Oh, I got one more. One more. Who's got it? Oh, did the best that I could. So look, try to get one for everybody who wants one, because the grace of God is for everyone, right? And it doesn't run out. What was there anybody, by the way? Anybody did not get one that you really wanted one? Is there anybody here? Because have you heard of the Christmas cakes? Oh, now, I know. All of a sudden, look at the hands go up now. Yes, I know. All of a sudden, I mean, we got people who are like standing up and reminding me about how I am their favorite preacher, right? That is it. Now, because my wife loves these, she's the one that gets it first. Oh, there we go. All right. That's who it is. There you go, guys. Get you some over here. All right. Get you some. Look at that. All right. Anybody on this side that likes those? We still got a little more. Still got a little more here. Let's see. Actually, what I'm going to do, since we have a representative from McKee, right? If you wouldn't mind, just go ahead and share God's grace a little bit. Go ahead and give those out to anybody that might want that. You know, now that everybody hopefully is happy, let me share something else with you. Something else, another reason that we can give thanks for nothing. At the end of your Bible, there is a book that we know is there and yet hardly ever read. And for much of the book, the Apostle John notes what he saw when the curtain, the veil of heaven was pulled back And he was given a glimpse. And so he writes, and he's careful to mention what is missing. Now maybe you remember his list of famous no mores. When he says, God will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. And he says, all of these things are gone forever. Now I want you to focus in on that first no more. Because this is something, and I appreciate Stephen as he led us in a prayer of reflection for those who are alone this holiday season. We need to be reminded that there is no death in heaven. It's why biblical author James wrote, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterwards, he says, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Now, I don't know if you're able to imagine a world that is fully alive. But if you can begin to imagine that, then you can start to finally get a little bit of an idea of what heaven is like, because there everyone wears the crown of life. Think about all the things that we do to avoid death. We pop pills, we pump Pepsi, and we pass on that extra piece of pumpkin pie. We say, oh, not today because I am watching my weight. Don't need to bring up anything about my cholesterol, right? Why do we go through all this effort? Because we all worry about staying alive. But that won't be a worry in heaven. In fact, you will not be worrying at all. Some of you moms worry about your kids getting hurt. You're not going to worry in heaven. In heaven, there will be no pain. Some of you worry about getting old. You won't in heaven, because you're going to be forever strong. You know, when I was in my early 20s, I could play softball games on back-to-back days without giving it a second thought. When I was in my early 30s, I could play a doubleheader, but I would be a little sore the next day. By the time I hit my early 40s, I was as good once as I ever was on the softball field. And now in my early 50s, I show up to the ball field already sore. That's just how it goes, right? Because our current existence is not crowned with life. Our current existence is crowned with death. Consider the mother who gives birth only to be rewarded with a silent child. Consider the man who works hard to retire only to have his retirement cut short by cancer. Consider the high school athlete who trains hard but is injured before his career even gets started. Or the aging parent slipping away into Alzheimer's. We're not made of steel, we're made of dust. And we live in the shadow of death. Even scientists remind us that the whole of the cosmos is experiencing entropy. It seems that the universe is running out of steam, but the next life is going to be different. And so Jesus urged his followers to be faithful, even if you have to die, he said, and I will give you a crown of life. This is one of those things to be thankful about that becomes very clear, again, this holiday season. And there have been so many in our community, not only in our church family, who have been dealing with the loss of people that they care about. Some senseless deaths that we don't understand, and some deaths that came after illness, some that were a surprise. You know, we have sent out multiple messages over the last week about our own family members, and I know that we have given our prayers and our condolences to John Wright. We have trying to be thoughtful for Aubrey Wood. As they have said goodbye to parents, we have thought about those who have been part of different school communities that have dealt with just so much grief in the last few weeks. We've even had individuals who are part of our family who have passed away. One of those families sends this message to us. Kyle and I just wanted to take a minute to let you know the depths of our appreciation for the way you loved on my mother. The countless times you took her to worship or took her to ladies' Bible class or took her to a play or to the mall, took her there to walk or any number of other kindnesses you showed to her. We were not unaware of these many selfless hours you spent in ministering to her needs. She loved her family at East Brainerd, and we love you too. May God continue to bless the work that you do, and we will never forget it. With all the love of our hearts, thank you, Kyle and Brenda Hedrick. We lose people in this life that we care about, and we grieve, and there is sorrow, and there is pain, and there is hurt. But Jesus says, even if you die, there is a crown of life waiting for you. And so this Thanksgiving, even if there is an empty seat at your table, I pray that you can rejoice. You can rejoice over nothing. The fact that there is no death in the presence of God. Well, there's another crown. It also represents something that is missing in heaven. As the Apostle Paul was contemplating his coming death, he wrote that he was anticipating receiving the crown of righteousness. The word righteousness simply means to be in a right relationship with God. And now, I know a careful Bible student here, when you think about that, maybe you're saying, well, wait a minute, am I not already righteous? So what is this about receiving a crown of righteousness? What happens then that hasn't happened now? Well, you are right. We are righteous now. There is no condemnation because we are clothed with Christ. But when Christ appears, we shall be like him and transformed. Our wardrobe will be complete and we will be crowned with righteousness. We will be truly rightly related to God. And I want you to think about what that means, because what is it that prevents people from being rightly related to God now? And it's sin. And if heaven promises a right relationship with God, then what must be naturally missing in heaven? You got it. It's sin. Heaven is going to be sin-free. Both sin and death will be things of the past. No death, no sin, and that means that we can be thankful for nothing. Now, earlier I asked if you could imagine a world without death. Can you do the same thing when it comes to sin? Can you imagine a world minus sin? It's so hard. Think about what you've done recently because of sin. At the very least, you've complained, you've worried, you've grumbled. You've hoarded when you should have shared. You turned away when you should have helped. Maybe you've second-guessed, you've covered up. But you're not going to do any of that in heaven. Because of sin, you have snapped at the ones that you love. You've argued with the ones that you cherish. Because of sin, you have felt shame. You have felt guilt. You have felt bitterness. You have endured sleepless nights and cloudy days. There has been addiction in your life, bigotry in your life, mistrust, adultery. All of these things due to sin. But in heaven, all of these things end. Because of sin, the young are abused and the elderly forgotten. Because of sin, God is cursed and drugs are worshipped. Because of sin, the poor have less and the affluent want more. Because of sin, babies have no daddies and husbands have no wives. But in heaven, sin will have no power. And in fact, sin will have no presence. If you can start to imagine a world without sin, then you will begin to start imagining what heaven is like. And let's get even more practical. Think about what causes tension between people. It's sin. If there is no sin, then there is no tension. There is no tension then between ex-husband and ex-wife, between black and white, between abused and penitent abuser, between left and right. The beautiful prophecy of Isaiah 11 will come true. The wolves will live in peace with lambs, and the leopards will lie down to rest with goats. Calves, lions, and young bulls will eat together, and a little child will lead them. And it's why almost a millennium later, John would make a similar promise. Heaven will be great, he said, not because of what is present, but because of what is missing. He said there will be no more death, no mourning, no crying, no pain. For the old order of things has passed away. John's list could have gone on forever. Because it's heaven has no sin, and because heaven has no death, and there's going to be no... And you can just fill in the blank and say, there's going to be no chemotherapy. There's going to be no more wheelchairs. There's going to be no more divorce. There's going to be no more jail cells. There's going to be no more broken hearts. All of these things and more are going to be gone because nothing related to sin and nothing related to death will have one inch in the presence of God. To be crowned in life means no more death. To be crowned in righteousness means no more sin. We get nothing. And these crowns means that there's one more thing that's going to be missing in heaven. Distance. Distance from God. See, later in Revelation 21 and verse 22, John makes note of this when he says, I saw no temple in the city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. Now, if you remember anything about maybe some Old Covenant history and about Jewish history with the temple layout, you might remember that they had an elaborate system of divisions designed and designated just so you would know how close a person could get to God. There was a court that the Gentiles could enter, and it was there on the outer edges, but they could go no further. Beyond that was the court of women, and that is where, ladies, you were able to assemble, but no further. And then there was the court of men. Beyond that was the court for priests. Beyond that was the Holy of Holies, where only one priest could enter. And so it was laid out with this clear message. This is how close you can get to God, and you can go no further. But friends, heaven has no barriers. Heaven has no barriers. And it is why those who have desire to live out the ethic of heaven's kingdom from the time of Jesus until now have preached that we are all one in Jesus Christ. To put barriers in place to say, well, this is how close you can get to God, and this is how close you can be, and this is how close you can come, that is only echoing a past system that was never meant to be carried over until now. Gentile, Jew, men, women, pious follower and questioning seeker, all have the same access to God through Jesus Christ. There are not going to be any barriers in heaven between us and God. You know, can you imagine that? Because I know it is so hard to imagine because we put up so many barriers. And again, that's why it was great to have Aaron and Tim just be able to talk about and think about that, look, barriers end at the cross. And that how the bread and cup remind us of the type of people that we are to be. Because we are kingdom people and we are heaven people. And we are people who will not experience death. We are people who will not experience sin. We are people who will not experience distance there. And so why would we want to try to live with something here that we know will not be there? It's like the moment recorded in 1 Kings chapter 10. When the Queen of Sheba came to check out the splendor of Solomon's kingdom. She had heard so much about all of his wealth and the splendor and the majesty that the king had accumulated. But after witnessing everything for herself, she says, "Everything I've heard about you and your kingdom is true, but it's not enough." She says, "I was only told half of it. What I have seen far exceeds the report that I was given." And you know what? That's what I feel about this conversation. About just these last couple of weeks, when we talk about how that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and how that in heaven there is no death, that there is no sin, that there is no distance from God. As we've talked about all of these nothings that we need to give thanks for, when this life ends, I get nothing of what I expect, nothing of what I deserve. And yet I know that what I have shared with you these last couple of weeks is nothing compared to the experience of eternity. Jesus describes that experience in Revelation 21. Look, God is home now among his people. And he will live with them. And they will be his people. God himself will be with them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And as he does so, he's going to give a final reward. And in doing so, allow us to experience something that we have been missing, something that we have never heard before. God is going to say, well done, good, faithful servant. Now, I know for some of you, you might say, well, what's the big deal about that? But think just for a minute. A lot of people just imagine heaven as being some giant, big worship service. And if you love praise, man, that's going to be awesome. But if you're not really a praisey person, you might be like, oh, is there a corner for me somewhere? But have you ever thought that perhaps when you experience heaven, oh, there's definitely going to be praise, but have you thought that when you experience heaven that some of your time is going to be spent with God praising you? And I'm not talking about some generic Hallmark card that just says thanks a lot and then one of the angels signs at the bottom. No, I'm talking about a personal affirmation where God gives you the praise that is due. Not one nation at a time, not one church at a time, but one person at a time. When God looks into your eyes and says, you know what, I watched your life and I saw what you did. And I remember that day when it was just you and me and your struggles and your doubts, and you were this close to giving up. And God starts to say, thank you. On that day, nothing really compares to that. I don't think any of us would be disappointed. There's something substantial being offered here that promises, I think, to carry us through eternity. And it leads me to think that all of the nothings, that for all of the nothings, that this something, when we begin to understand it, is enough to motivate us to give our lives to something that will carry on into the next life. You see, when this fallen world is purged by fire and sin's curse is removed, God wants to get one-on-one with the resurrected you and say, thank you. You say, what? I've never thought about this, never heard this. Well, it's why Paul told the Corinthians that when the time of testing is done and when God has evaluated what everyone has been through in their life, he says at that time, each will receive their praise from God. At that time, at the time when there is no more death, when there is no more sin, when there is no more distance, each will receive their praise from God. God himself will look at you eye to eye and bless you with the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share in your master's happiness. And then we're going to look and we're going to behold all that heaven is. And I think we're going to exclaim, everything I have heard about you, and everything that I have been taught, and everything that I have read about you and your kingdom is true, but it's not enough. It's not enough. I was only told half. Because what I have seen far exceeds the report that I was given. And nothing compares to this. And then forever, forever we will be thankful. Thankful for everything and for nothing. So Father, we say thank you this morning. Not for all of the things that we have, and there are many, but for what we do not have. Father, for taking away the fear and the anxiety that comes with wondering if we can be in a right relationship with you. Father, for removing our concern about what comes next. Father, we say thank you for letting us know that there is no condemnation for those who are covered in your Son. Thank you for letting us know that death does not win. And that though we grieve here, and though that we mourn, and that we have tears here, that death ends here. And Father, we see the results of sin. We experience in our own lives. We don't have to look at anybody else. We just have to look at the mirror. But you have promised us that there is no sin in your presence. And because of that, there is no distance from you. Father, we long for you. We search for you as if we were in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Thanks for the reminder today that there is coming a time that we will no longer be thirsty, we will no longer be hungry for you, because we will hear your voice. We will be in your presence. And not only will we celebrate, but we will enjoy the new body that we have received, that is no longer racked with cancer, that remembers all things, a body that is able again to move in ways that we can only imagine. And then together with all of those who have come before us and all who will go after us, all who have been covered in Christ, we will serve you, and we will love each other, and we will live as we were created to be, thankful that nothing from this life can touch us. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray and give thanks, and amen. Church, we're going to sing and encourage one another. We're going to talk about how well it is with our soul because of the promises that we have from God. We want you to know, as always, that if you'd like to speak with someone privately, that we have a prayer room that is located in our lobby, and you're welcome to go there. One of our elders will be there and be glad to have a conversation, be glad to pray with you. I want you to know that if you just need to come before this church family and say, there's something that is truly on my heart that needs to be shared, we want to offer you that time. And if you'd like to be baptized into Christ today because, well, you recognize that there is nothing else in this world that matters than to be covered by him, then we encourage you to take this opportunity and to do that. Let it be well with your soul. Be thankful for nothing. Let's stand and sing.